Shalom,
אנחנו בשיעור מיוחד.
Hello, we're reading chosen excerpts for the Memorial Day of the Ari, and you can ask questions live and also on CAP TV. So again, passages from the sources for the Memorial Day of the Ari.
No, אנחנו נקרא את הקטעים האלו ש...
We're going to read these excerpts of where the great Kabbalists tell us about the Ari.
אנחנו זכינו שהמורה שלנו בעל הסולם
We're merited to having our teacher as the reincarnation of the soul of the Ari. How happy he was to discover it, although we don't understand what exactly it means, a reincarnation of the soul of the Ari. But it must be something truly exalted. And as it's written about the Ari, that he was Mashiach ben Yosef, the Messiah, son of Joseph, meaning he connects all the previous forms of Kabbalah to the current state we are in, the end of correction, the generation of the Messiah. And that's why when the Kabbalah of the Ari was revealed, as Baal Salam writes, all the Kabbalists let go of all the other Kabbalistic methods and have cleaved onto that method of the Ari, because it's not a matter of being clearer, more clear or less clear. It's not about his attainment being more or less. It's about his connection to the end of correction, the connection of his soul. His kli, his vessel, was truly connected to the end of correction, and that's why through him we also can receive that connection to the end of correction and actualize ourselves correctly, all of us together, the way we understand it, from his Torah, from his writings. So let's read about it. Ask some questions. Also tonight we have a meal where we will read and we can discuss various things.
We'll begin with excerpt number 2, Baal HaSulam, Introduction to Panim Meirot U'Masbirot, Item 8. Come and see how grateful we should be to our teachers who impart us their sacred lights and dedicate their souls to do good to our souls. They stand in the middle between the path of harsh torments and the path of repentance. They save us from the netherworld, which is harder than death, and accustom us to reach the heavenly pleasure, the sublime gentleness, and the pleasantness that is our share, ready and waiting for us from the very beginning. As we have said above, each of them operates in his generation according to the power of the light of his Torah and sanctity. Our sages have already said, you have no generation without such as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Indeed, that godly man, our Rav Isaac Luria, troubled and provided us the fullest measure. He did wondrously more than his predecessors, and if I had a tongue that praises, I would praise that day when his wisdom appeared almost as the day when the Torah was given to Israel.
Okay, that's in the praise of the Ari. But certainly we don't understand, we can't even appreciate it. Just like a baby cannot appreciate the things that grown-ups are doing. He's not attaining it. But in truth, what we have today is all from the Ari, and through his soul we receive the activation, the corrections, all through his soul. And then afterwards Bala Sulam, probably Rabash, as it seems to me this is our path.
When someone like Bala Sulam writes something great in praise of someone else, it's like unclear. He was what? He was a person that the point in the heart awoke in him and he started studying, or it's the Creator that took him and did what he did.
There's all kinds. It's not just like taking someone like, you know, Simon from the market. Some had a very exalted root of his soul. He could reveal it like as Rabbi Shimon. And although the area is not so clear to us, he was a 35-year-old guy. In a year and a half, he taught a few students who composed these books. Some of the texts he didn't write, they wrote. Other stuff they hid in his grave. The rest they hid in one of those big chests that people had, instead of closets. And that's it. That's how it came to us. So, of course, there's reason for us to connect it to an upper force, higher guidance. How can, he was also a merchant, the Ari. He would travel to Egypt, Damascus, here in Israel, in Jaffa. He was busy doing all those things. How could he? How could he, you know, do it? And he was connected to business until he settled down in Jerusalem. He was in Tiberias, he was in Jerusalem. And that's how it came to light. It's not clear exactly. The whole business is very airy. Where is it in Tzfat, in Safed? Where is his building? They said the synagogue of the Ari. There are two synagogues, as usual, Sephardic and Ashkenazi. And the Ari was truly both. It was a result of both. But what does that have to do with it? You understand? Everything is very convoluted. It's such a personality, as if he wasn't a real person. Where was his wife, his kids, his offspring? It's not clear.
Exactly. So does such a person have free choice?
I don't think so. In retrospect, of course, no one has free choice. Everything happens from above. Everything according to the commands of the Creator, and that's it.
It's
not clear, Terence.
How was the wisdom of Kabbalah before the Ari?
Before the Ari, only a select few engaged in the wisdom of Kabbalah. Really, here and there, extremely concealed. And after the Ari, it began to surface a bit more in the Ari. He felt many troubles, a lot of pressure from the people in Tzfat, in Safed, from all those people who objected to Kabbalah because he was revealing it. He was assembling circles of people around him, if not for the Ramak, Rabbi Moshe Kodovero, who was an old man at the time, and he understood the area a little bit, not exactly, but he didn't understand the method, but he understood he was speaking from a very high level of attainment, and that's why he defended him from the others. Otherwise, I don't know what they would have done to Ari in those times.
But what was so unique about Ari? What did he do? I understand what Baal HaSulam did, he disseminated and other things, but Ari, why is he unique?
He's special because he opened up the wisdom of Kabbalah in a different way altogether. Ten Sefirot, direct light, reflected light, Malchut with a screen, the order of the worlds, Patsufim, in a highly organized, systematic way, like Etz Chaim, like the Tree of Life. That's the main work that Chaim Vital took down from his words. Certainly, just imagine what was going on here with Chaim Vital, the student. He's sitting down for a year and a half next to the teacher, and in a year and a half, he writes so many things. The Tree of Life, that's a book, and 20 others like it. In a year and a half. And everything he wrote had to be arranged and edited over a 3-generation period. It's not clear. This is an upper force. It's an inhuman force. Yes, Shamir.
Boker Tov, Rav.
Boker Tov. Good morning, Rav. Why, after the Ari, the wisdom of Kabbalah opened up?
It opened up because, first of all, he himself has introduced this force to the world, internally, spiritually. That's one thing.
Additionally,
things started to get publicized from what he did. And these forces started to be revealed. It doesn't matter that these things happened. This happened somewhere in Safed. Rather, in many places around the world, people started to feel that force that he brought closer to this world through his soul. And then people like, you know, the Baal Shem Tov got up in rows around Russia and continued. He started to talk about the five worlds and the Sefirot and the Pots of Fame and so on and so forth. The Hasidic people call it the Torah of the Baal Shem Tov, but it's really the words of the Ari. But why do they call it this way? Because they heard it from Baal Shem Tov.
Why do we call Baal HaSulam as the reincarnation of the Holy Arizal?
First of all, Baal HaSulam writes about it himself. I also heard about it from Rabash, although he really didn't like to talk about it. And a reincarnation means that there is a direct connection. That is to say, whatever the Ari attained, Baal HaSulam can attain directly after him. That's it. A reincarnation is like an inheritance. Whatever the father has ultimately goes to the son.
Of reincarnation, You think we as Bnei Baruch are the reincarnation of the people of Israel 2,000 years ago?
This will be revealed soon. So for the time being, let's think about it. When it will be revealed, it will become clear who are we. Don't worry about it. It's not going to... It's not going to despair you. Don't worry. Or frustrate you.
No.
In short, it's going to be good.
Why did Ari give the entire wisdom to Chaim Vital?
There was no one else to give it to. He said it. To his student, Israel Cohen. Yitzhak Cohen. That the others should not continue to engage with the wisdom of Kabbalah, even though they studied with him, because they didn't understand anything and it would be a confusion. They should not touch it. Only Chaim Vital should.
The language of the Sefirot and the language used in Etz Chaim and then Tess, he developed it. These are words that he used.
The Ari developed it afterwards, Baal Sulam, but these things were known previously. It's clear. You have these things in the Zohar even before Baal Sulam added to it. But the order, the connections, the system, it's all the Ari.
The words Sfira, for example, or other such words, they exist before?
Yeah. It's not so important to us. We're not a university. We're not going to start interpreting everything as they like to do it. Who did it this way or that way? How is that connected to the development of certain philosophies and so on? Let's go.
Excerpt number 3, Baal HaSulam, Introduction to Panim Meirot Umasbirot, Item 8. There are not enough words to measure His holy work in our favor. The doors of attainment were locked and bolted, and He came and opened them for us. Thus, all who wish to enter the king's palace need only purity and sanctity and to go and bathe and shave their hair and wear clean clothes. To properly stand before the sublime kingship, you find a 30-year-old who subdued with his wisdom all his predecessors through the genius and through all times. All the elders of the land, the gallant shepherds, friends, and disciples of the godly sage, the Hamak, stood before him as disciples before the Rav. All the sages of the generation following them to this day, non-missing, have abandoned all the books and compositions that precede him. The Kabbalah and the Ramak, the Kabbalah of the First, the Kabbalah of the Genius, they left everything and took only his writings.
Yeah, there were complete orders ready before the Ari, but what he did, how he arranged the wisdom of Kabbalah, the main thing, the screen, the restriction, the screen, the reflected light. Not in this cascading from above down. The lights come down, and that's how they what they do. They pass from one place to another. These are all nice stories. They are correct. Everyone in a high attainment, but there's no restriction, screen, reflected light, degrees of coarseness, degrees of purity, degrees of the screen, the hardness of the screen, how it all connects together, everything in one kli, one vessel, all those things. were only clarified and sorted by the Ari. That's why he belongs to the generation of correction, Mashiach ben Yosef, because everything is before the reception of Mashiach ben David in Malchut. That's why only he was capable of doing it, and that's why we are using him. Although all the great Kabbalists that preceded him were in attainment, and they knew not less than the Ari, but not in clear attainment from the side of the lights, vessels, and screens. That is the whole thing. As a matter of attainment from above, I know, that's how it is. Because I see. Or I attain it in my vessels, and I know when I'm building this world that I'm attaining. There's a difference. I can't express it exactly, but this is what happened to us, and that's why from the time of the Ari onwards, anyone can learn and attain gradually what he discovered. Because he discovered that it's all connected to the will to receive, the restriction, the screen, the reflected light, and all the attainments beyond it. Okay? Good. Clear.
What about the passing on of the wisdom? Because we see that the Baal Shem Tov and Ari, they didn't write anything.
The Ari didn't write anything, Baal Shem Tov didn't write anything, and everything comes to us from their students.
So why does it work that way? What, it's like oral Torah? What is that?
This is a very complicated topic, an ancient one. How many books were written even before Adam Arishon? We think, well, what books? They would take a block of rock on which you were writing? No, people would write on different materials, different surfaces, and write great things. I mean, also long, lengthy things. I don't know. I can't explain it. For me, I think that the wisdom of Kabbalah
it would be
passed on from person to person or from group to group, and everything was was a revelation in the pe, in the mouth. People who connect between them would connect, like the students of Rabbi Shimon at 10, that was working on the connection between everyone, and that's why it would reveal everything possible to be revealed in these corrections until the end of correction. That's why the Book of Zohar is the highest and most exalted book of all. And it was forbidden to reveal it until the beginning of the end of correction, meaning our time. And that's it. Whereas later, after the Zohar, this, people started to write. This is the matter of written Torah and oral Torah. There's not much here. Even written Torah, it wasn't passed down in writing like we are printing it here. It's not about printing press or writing down on a material surface. It's an expression of an inner desire, the kind of inner desire you use to express the Torah. We'll talk about it later.
So the Ari, actually, he built a path from below upwards for a person, how a person can become like the Creator, a person in this world.
He discovered how you acquire, how you attain the upper force by a person in this world, because in his time, the vessels reached a point where it was possible to disclose it, and it was time to begin correction of them. That's why he was revealed as Mashiach ben Yosef, the beginning of the correction.
So his entire Torah is how can any person in this world achieve equivalence of form with the Creator?
Yes.
Excerpt number 4. Test, part 4, Inner Reflection, item 90. Know that knowing this wisdom depends mostly on knowing the order of the concatenation of the sefirot and the parzufim in the olamot from one another by absolutely necessary cause and consequence. The sages of the Zohar explain that but no one understood their words until the Ari came and revealed the matters. Know that the whole innovation in the Kabbalah of the Ari is primarily in the disclosure of the Esel Sefirot of the Ol Chozer. Although the Esel Sefirot, the Ol Chozer in general, were known to all the prior Kabbalists, their primary attainment and understanding was only according to the conducts in the Esel Sefirot de Or Yashar. When the Ari came and explained to us the knowledge in the ways of the Or Chozer in their every detail, he thus opened before us the hidden treasures locked in the holy book of Zohar.
Barur.
Clear? We understand that without coarseness, aviyut, tzimtzum, restriction, masach, screen, reflected light, or chozer, that rises from below up and clothes the direct light, meaning reveals the upper light that's before the creature, the will to receive, and then the will to receive connects to the upper light in this reflected light and grasps it and takes it inside of it and begins to expand in it from within it. Without this whole method, the revelation, you can't be truly connected to the correction. That's why all those who preceded the Ari were not engaged in the correction. They were engaged in preparation for our time in the Ari when he disclosed all this work, mainly this work from below up, using reflected light. He opened up before us the method of correction, the Torah of correction, which is the true wisdom of Kabbalah. So, the Ari opened up the development of the spiritual vessel, how it works systemically, how to develop it. Rav, yeah, he discovered how the spiritual kli functions.
Okay?
No.
We learned that the correction depends on raising man, but why for raising man you need to understand reflected light and all that mechanism? Rav, when we learn these things, we awaken on us these lights and then we bring it closer. This is where he's writing about the study, that by this study, a person awakens the light that work on him and bring him closer, right? 155. Let him read it.
But Hasidism talked about this, that what's important is the request, the inner desire, not the knowledge.
In Hasidic streams, the Hasidic stream, you can distinguish two things. Number one, it's the masses that you need to prepare them for the wisdom of Kabbalah by giving them crumbs of the table, but not actually feeding them from the table because they're like children, like babies, they're incapable of swallowing and digesting the wisdom of Kabbalah. And you have people who are capable. There were many rabbis, Kabbalists. Every chief rabbi until the 18th century was a Kabbalist in attainment, a great attainment. And that's how the wisdom had spread out. It started to be felt, understood, known among the Hasidic world. The Hasidic movement has done a lot. It was not completely forbidden. People were studying, if not the writings of the Ari, then the writings of the students of the Baal Shem Tov. Everywhere there was a Jewish settlement, Jewish town. There was a rabbi there who studied and taught and became a Kabbalist. It was a time, a time of blossoming from the 16th, 17th century until the 19th century. It was a revival of people of attainment, and we have many books from them. All these books of these chief rabbis, the first generation of chief rabbis that grew out of Baal Shem Tov. I think Baal Shem Tov had 28 students or so. He had a cheder, had a room. He would take in guys, teach them, and send them off to many places, to different places, and they became spiritual leaders in that their regions. You didn't have the internet back then, as you understand. And so, using that, there was a complete disconnect even between the villages. People lived in a totally different way. But using these students, owing to these students, the dissemination of the wisdom of Kabbalah happened.
So can we elaborate on this a bit? Was there back then in society something like what we say about Abraham, the revelation of the ego back then or something?
At that time, I'm not sure what was going on. It's not so important. But what's important is the wisdom of Kabbalah. After the Ari, there was a development of the wisdom of Kabbalah in the East. And then you had a few great ones, Kabbalists, that rose in the East. But mostly it was in that area of Russia, Ukraine, where Jews lived and lived very poorly, with pogroms, with great pressures from the surroundings. And that supported them, it helped them immerse themselves in the wisdom of Kabbalah, and then they developed. And each and every student that studied with Baal Shem Tov started his own Hasidic court, as we call it. And assembled people around them. And you see, they have many like that. According to the places where they used to live in Russia, Ukraine, accordingly, they're named today. Hasidic court of Belz, of Gur, of Ruzhin. There were such Hasidic groups according to those places they came from, those villages. Jews could only live in villages, not in the cities. That's how it was. There's not much to explain. They had nothing to work, nothing to do. A little bit, they had a few jobs they could do to make a living and then to study. Typically, in each village, there are one or two rich Jews. Those who had a tendency for business, for riches, and they would sustain the entire village. They would pay the village to engage in Torah. We will make money, you will engage in Torah. And from back then, we have this thing called the Kollel, which is like the Orthodox university where people can study their whole life, and this is what they call, what they say, their Torah is their craft. Because back then there was no other work to do. They were not granted land to develop agriculture, and they were not allowed to work anywhere. So there are a few cobblers, a few tailors, and that's it. Out of this very stressful life, the Hasidic movement grew out of that. It made many corrections, because it's the same wisdom of Kabbalah, except it belonged to the masses. Love your friend as yourself, come closer to one another, be merciful, be kind. It's what Kabbalah is talking about, but only corporeally, without correcting yourself above the ego. Just to be a chassid inside the ego, to be a devout inside the ego, yeah.
Rav, according to your explanation, the difference between the Ari and the Baal Shem Tov, it sounds like there are two axes in the development of the wisdom of Kabbalah.
The Ari is like the foundation from above. It's like an axis from above down, and Baal Shem Tov spreads on the surface.
So there is the development of the wisdom, and there is bringing the wisdom closer to the people.
It's always like that.
Now, bringing it closer to the people, in order to do it, you have to kind of dilute it, make it thinner, easier.
Yeah, according to the end user.
Where are we in terms of what's more important in our times, or
we are long after that, because in a sense, after Baal Sulam continued to interpret the method of the Ari and presented it in a way that everyone can study and understand or come close to understanding, we can now attain the method of the Ari. And in general, to understand it, to belong to it only through disseminating it, thanks to dissemination.
So our time is just to bring the wisdom closer to people.
Our time is time of dissemination. I don't know, bringing it closer or not. We receive the method of the Ari from above down. We're realizing it between us, and we're disseminating it across the land.
What I mean is, according to what you explained, the Baal Shem Tov, he as if invented a social or community clothing for it that allowed people to somehow touch it.
That was according to how he lived, how they lived in those villages, with the pogroms, with all those problems, those little Jewish settlements that they cannot leave. You have to read a few of those books to understand the atmosphere back then.
Okay, obviously it was a completely different world. The question is, if today we look a few years, a few hundreds of years into the future, suppose the wisdom of Kabbalah, the way we study it, probably the masses cannot learn it the way we do.
Of course not. A person only studies for his heart desires. They have no desire for it. There's no.
So, similarly to what Baal Shem Tov did, what act of bringing the wisdom closer, making it easier, should we do in order for people to be able to perceive, grasp it?
I heard that this depends on Bnei Baruch. And especially on Asaf and others like him. What are you asking me? How to make the wisdom of Kabbalah suitable for your generation? This generation, this is your work. I also have great questions.
Suppose you said that the Baal Shem Tov, he gathered people, turned them into students, sent them to different places, they became leaders, built communities. It's a very clear strategy in order to spread the wisdom.
Yes. So you're saying that we should spread out and go places?
No, it's a different world. I'm just saying that Baal Shem Tov, he initiated, he managed it.
We're doing the same, but through the internet. Look at the screens. Today, it's not like as it was back then. He had a problem of how to even to disseminate this idea. Why is a person alive? How is the world built? What should we do with it? Today, we also have this work, but the work is more on connection. So spread the group is not useful for connection. Today, you have to assemble groups physically as much as possible and disseminate as much as possible through the internet. That's what I'm thinking.
Looking at the past two decades,
a central
group came together with many groups in the world, many cultures that connected to this wisdom, and the wisdom really struck roots. It's something new. So what's the next phase? How do we reach the masses?
I don't know. I don't see the same deficiency that existed back then in the Jews that the Baal Shem Tov turned to. They were extremely oppressed and stressed, and they lived on bread and water, barely, without any hope for the future, for anything. He brought them light. He brought light to their lives. He explained why are you alive, that there is a purpose, there's a correction, there's the end of correction. It was not so clear. Even if you talk to religious people today, it'll be hard-pressed to say what is correction, the end of correction. 6,000 years, that happened, that happened. There's no such thing. There's only concentration on what I have to do from morning till night, and that's it. Nothing other than that. Now it's starting to break out here and there in stores and bookstores. Some people are talking about it, but it's not very respectable to engage in that. Rather, take a book, start studying the prohibition to slander, for example. That's what they prefer. So we don't feel the darkness. You can earn money, you can succeed, you can go on vacation, everything is before you. And if not, they can take you out to demonstrate, some demonstration that adds some spice to life. All of it is done very wisely. That's how it is.
It was said that it was written here that Ari, he renewed the concepts of the Masach or Chozer, things like that.
It was written in the excerpt.
Yeah, right. So what kind of attainment was there before that?
People knew about those things, but not in detail. They didn't know that this depends on that, and that is doing this. You're watching a film, a movie, and you're impressed by different things that are happening there, and next to you someone is an expert, and he's looking at the film completely different. He's not crying with you or laughing with you. He analyzes the film based on how it was made, and the color, and the sound design, and all sorts of things, and how these are acting, and how such nuances that you're not even thinking about. But for him, this is the attainment, and this is the pleasure that he derives from the film. Each one according to his... You're listening to music, and a musician is listening to music. There's a difference.
Suppose in the Zohar, is it something that they did know?
Again, saying there's a big difference between being the one who, between attaining something and being a person of attainment. The people who wrote the Zohar were people of attainment even more than the Ari. They were at the end of correction. But the Ari discovered the method for how to reach it, how each and every person can reach it. That's why it's called a foundation, a Yesod, Messiah, son of Yosef. Yosef is the Yesod, right? So we just need to reach a state called Messiah, son of David, when we are realizing it, actualizing it inside the general will to receive, the human will to receive.
Next. Excerpt number 5. Baal Sulam, Shamati 102. The holy Ari being Messiah son of Joseph, this is why he could reveal such wisdom, since he had permission from the revealed world.
The revealed world, and he received permission to disclose, as we're learning about it in time to act, when is it permitted to disclose and when it's not. So, disclosing a portion and concealing two. Where is it? Six. Oh, we have it.
Excerpt number 6. Baal HaSulam disclosing a portion covering two. Since the time of Rashbi and his students, the authors of the Zohar until the time of the Ari, that there was not a single writer who understood the words of the Zohar and the Tikkunim like the Ari. All the compositions before his time are mere inklings in the wisdom, including the books of the sage Ramak, and the same words that were said about the Rashbi should be said about the Ari himself. That his predecessors were not given permission from above to disclose the interpretations of the wisdom, and that he was given the permission.
It's a difference, meaning we don't know how much they discovered for themselves, but the permission to write or even to teach they did not receive.
And also, this does not distinguish any greatness or smallness at all, since it is possible that the virtue of his formers was much greater than the Ari's, but they were not given permission for it at all. For this reason, they refrained from writing commentaries that relate to the actual wisdom, but settled for brief intimations that were not in any way linked to one another. For this reason, since books of the Ari appeared in the world, all who study the wisdom of Kabbalah have left their hands from all the books of the Ramak, and all the first and the great ones that preceded the Ari. As it is known among those who engage in this wisdom, they have attached their spiritual lives solely to the writings of the Ari, in a way that the essential books considered proper interpretations of this wisdom are only the Book of Zohar, the Tikkunim, and following them, the books of the Ari.
This is what we are also learning. We have Zohar in the evening. We are now already in the Tikkunim, the corrections of the Zohar. Now, a few days ago, we learned the famous correction number 30, on which the general correction of the world is built on. Basulam refers to it in the introduction to the study of the Ten Sefirot. And the Zohar itself, also, we went through the entire book of Zohar in one reading. And we'll do it more. And the words of the Ari, we're learning in these lessons. In the morning, the words of the Ari, in the evenings, the Zohar and the Tikkunim.
Excerpt number 7. Bala Sulam, Introduction to Panim Meirot Umasbirot, Item 9. In return for that, we are privileged by him to have been rewarded with the spirit of the Baal Shem Tov, whose greatness and sanctity are beyond any word and any utterance. He was not gazed upon and will not be gazed upon except by those worthy that have served under his light, and they too only intermittently, each according to what he received in his heart. It is true that the light of his Torah and holy wisdom are built primarily on the holy foundations of the Ari. However, they are not at all similar. I'll explain that with an allegory of a person who is drowning in a river, rising and sinking as drowning people do. Sometimes only the hair is visible, and then a counsel is thought to catch him by his head. Other times his body appears as well, and then a counsel is sought to catch him from opposite his heart. So is the matter before us. After Israel has drowned in the evil waters of the exile in the nations, from then until now, they rise and fall, and not all times are the same. At the time of the Ari, only the head was visible. Hence, the Ari had troubled in our favor to save us through the mind. At the time of the Baal Shem Tov, there was relief. Hence, it was a blessing for us to save us from opposite our heart. And that was a great and true salvation for us.
That is exactly the difference between the wisdom of Kabbalah and the Hasidic movement. They speak of the same thing, the same goal, the same yearning, but the expression is different, either through the heart or through the head. And we are using both. To arrange the heart according to the laws, the rules that were established in the Rosh, the head. A complete patsuf. That's it? What's up?
Here he talks about the relief that there was a time where you had to catch people by their mind, and then there was relief, and it was possible to catch them by their heart. What does it mean?
It's a different vessels. Mind the heart, that's why it appears differently in different times. just like we're learning about the time of philosophy and time of science. There's a different approach because a person is made of intellect and emotion. That's why, as he explains, once corresponding to the heart and once corresponding to the head. That's how they aim to save a person from the stormy waters.
What does it mean when a Kabbalist passes away the specific day, special day?
It's hard to explain because in spirituality there truly is no time, but only with respect to those who are in this world and are using his Torah. They have this special connection to the Kabbalist during the day of his departure, because the day of his departure is the day of his ascension. That's why we wish to be connected to him even more than before, to his soul, to his method, his Torah, to him, in short. Therefore, the day of departure, we seemingly celebrate, we commemorate. It's a day of joy, because the soul finds itself and rises to a higher spiritual degree. That's why we've never had crying or sorrow or grief for anyone who departed. Not the common people and not our great people from the wisdom of Kabbalah. We never had it with Rabash. And in general, he would treat it very simply, kind of practically. When his wife passed away, he said, we have a cemetery, let's just bury her here. How? Our mother, not in Jerusalem. For him, it was, as Baal Salam says, I don't care where you bury my bag of bones. Also to go to the Yortzeit, the day of the commemoration. It's something that's customary in this world, but what's in it? Nevertheless, I asked him once, maybe we should renew or refresh the grave of Baal Salam. Painted something, he said, leave it for others. Don't bother with it. It's not important. Such an extent that even if nothing was there. And in truth, the time of the Ari, that's how it was. Except later, people came and built a little mausoleum and just like you have a lot of commotion about the grave of Aaron, the priest in Jordan, that they didn't let Israelis get there. It's not when we're talking about the sources. There was no interest in that. What's the connection between this body, flesh, and the soul? That's why all those commemorations we see next to Safed, they are discovered all of it. But before him, nobody knew. You know, you're driving up there, you see all those different places where people are buried. It's only later Arvi would say, this is buried here, and this one is buried there, and so on and so forth. But before that, when these guys died and were buried, and they placed nothing for them. Maybe at most they put a little stone, often without writing anything. It's only after the everyday they've done it.
The day that he passed away is like the day he finished his role in the system, working, or
departure from one degree to another. He has no contact with the corporeal degree with respect to others. He's connected with all the other spiritual degrees, of course, and with those who are in spiritual connection with him. Okay. We have tonight meal. We'll talk and we'll rejoice in having such a soul that is opening up the path towards correction for us. And with that,
so this evening we'll have the Ari Yortzeit meal of the, instead of the World Yeshivat Chavarim, we'll have a meal. And we're happy to inform you about the new courses coming up. There's an introductory lecture and new courses opening in Tel Aviv and in other cities around Israel. For the details, contact us. And from unity to the one, we're inviting all of our friends to the Kabbalah Congress, World Kabbalah Congress, in Kishinev, Moldova, 6th to the 8th of September 2019. For further details, Kabbalah Info/convention.